Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you are listening to Islam-based conversations. I want to get off to a good start today, post-Ramadan and some other things I think are driving this type of attitude and approach. But just in general, we've been coming on and we've been trying to share a little bit of knowledge that we know about this thing called El Islam, you know. And I don't mean to sound offensive, you know, El Islam is regardful, it's a sacred regard for those who are practicing it, who are trying to learn more and more about it so that they can apply it to themselves and then they can help others by leading by example. So let's start out with mission statement. I think that's the other better, a mission statement. And that is my promise, the promise to not waste your time or insult your intelligence. I say it, you hear it, I believe it, and then you will be the decision maker in whether or not you believe it. And it's not bragging, it's just commitment. Commitment on a level that if you do it, it evolves as you evolve, and it does more than just it's more than just some words, maybe some fancy words or some words that maybe get your attention. They actually can be available to serve you as you are trying to serve others. Tremendous blessing if you can get that to happen, and those who do get it to happen, then you can see the blessing that has come to them. You know, we see that we look at our celebrate our role models and people that we saw and people that we're seeing now, you know, and we have high respect for them. Well, somewhere down the line, something came into their lives, something came into a realization, whether it was purpose, whether it was talent, or whether it was meant to be, you know. Some things are just meant to be. It's all about Allah's or the Creator or God's will. So when his will is with a thing, then that thing is meant to be. And there's no stopping it. There's no, now, does it guarantee, you know, that the world's going to be, come out of this hellish state that it's in and come into a heavenly state and all is going to be well and we're going to come out unaffected, unblemished, unhurt, you know, just joyful and happy and just really experiencing what a lot of people are wanting to happen. They want life, the weather to be good and perfect, the car to be right, the house to be right, the wife, the children, everything's right, everything's perfect. And then they say this, they're happy now. But if you listen to scripture, it doesn't ideally speak of that. It's more like if you go to nature, okay, today it's nice and sunny and very little wind and it's a little humid, a little hot, a little warm, I should say, not hot. But I can guarantee you it may even be similar to that for the next three or four days. But it's not going to stay like that. There's nothing static about life. And by the way, that's our subject today. Not that there's nothing static about life, but it's a good introduction to begin to see whether life, our life, is in our possession. Do you possess your own life, or are you controlled by forces outside of your life? Do you have an Islamic life that you're living in? Your Islam is not Islam, and you are not just a Muslim by name only. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear that. They don't want to talk like that. They come on, oh, he ain't teaching religion. He ain't talking about the religion. No, I'm talking about forces, and I'm talking about the very thing that Imam Muhammad said, that he was helping us to get back. And he hoped that we would be appreciative of it. Because without it, we're very susceptible to forces, plans, strategies by our number one enemy, an open enemy to us, to prove a point to the God, not that he don't believe in God, not that he's, you know, unaware of God's, you know, power. It's just that he has the nerves, the arrogance and ignorance to ask God to just give him a few minutes to prove his point. And according to the conversation, God agreed and said, you know, are you given until the day of respite? Or until, you know, you tried your best and failed, or you were given time, you were given whatever. And only body that left with you or that's still in your spell, or under your spell, are the ones that weren't strong enough to believe, or they decided that your way was pretty all right. It was nice and comfortable. Got us into pursuing the creature conference, and the creature conference was there, and in abundance, and people is jealous and envious and all that and everything, and that's what you wanted. You got a nice little inheritance you're going to pass over to your children, and that's your legacy, to get a piece of the dunya that way. And we hear from God or the Creator that that's not the route. Under the influence. They're under the influence of a force that's not in a car with me. He's not stronger than me. He's not more powerful than me. But he's an adversary of you. And he's causing you to get misguided and misinformed and not have a plan that will serve humanity and thus serve me. And for one reason or another, you went for an okey-doke. And if it's just out of ignorance, then once you start hearing the truth, you're going to see that truth and use that truth to change your life, take back your life, take back control of your life, and change your life with the truth, the light of the truth, the wholeness of the truth, the power of the truth. You know, truth doesn't impress, it empowers. And if it's in your life, then you know what I'm talking about. If you still got questions, or you got one foot in and one foot out, maybe not so much, you know. And this is not necessarily here to judge or determine. It's more to, you know, it's going to be simply looking at some of the things about life, starting with the word life. Very simple. Very general observations about this word. And why not? We live in an English-speaking country. Why not have some type of command over the language to where you can communicate and correspond with people? You're not there, but you wrote something, and they can read it. Oh, my God. And it makes them what? Think. It offers an opportunity for them to look at something in a way that they hadn't looked at it before and give expression to what they see or what they saw or what they think, even if it's not, and if it's in opposition. They don't agree. They don't believe. They don't understand. Whatever the status is, it's not a bad thing. Because without what you just presented or shared, they would have what? Nothing. Nothing to go by. They will keep on keeping on. They'll keep doing what they're doing. Keep resisting. Keep trying to explain it for themselves, following this misguided belief that I have a mind. I can think for myself. You know, I don't need all this help from all these outside sources telling me to do this and do that. And I'm good, meaning I don't need no more. And I'm good, meaning I treat people right. I don't try to do this. I'm a good person. I don't drink or smoke or whatever. So I'm good. That would be good, but there is a time, and that time is now, when good is not good enough. Agree or disagree? Look at the people who are doing what they're doing. Look at the search question, situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in, where good people are finding that they're being under the same attack as the so-called bad people, or the people who you would think, well, they deserve it. You know, but innocent people, like the children who were in the mall when the man went on the stabbing spree and killed six people, and some of the children, or somebody, one of them at least, was a child. Hadn't been in the world long enough to even be heard. So sure, that's a question for a lot of people. How is this all powerful, almighty God let that happen? I'll say maybe one other statement to go with this. It doesn't happen. But what we're not talking about, and you have to talk about it to a degree, whether you agree on it, and that's a whole other thing. But there is life after death. So if you don't have a grand old life and 85 and 90 years old when you die, and you've just been here a minute, 6 years, 3 years or whatever, and you return to the Creator. But you return in a state to where you get the benefit and blessings and all the stuff that we may be getting and all the stuff that we can talk about. You get the benefit of that in the next life. Now, if you got a problem, well, why let him come here and see this and then take him back that soon? You could just keep asking endless questions. And at the end of those questions, the answer going to be, I don't know, you don't know, we don't know, and it doesn't matter, doesn't matter, doesn't matter, that we don't know. Try to figure out more about this thing called life and quit trying to question God about what he does and doesn't do and how he does. You're going to get the benefit and the blessing, and you're going to stop with the stupidity of acting like the same God that all the magnificence that you see, all that you see that is cooperating and working together, and it's just on this little small level called Earth. But in the universe, multiple galaxies and whatever, they have beyond sight and beyond even recognition. So if you got to challenge somebody or something, challenge man. And make inquiries as to why and what and when is this going to get better and be improved. Now, questions? Yes. The power of a good question in life, in life circumstances where you're in time and shared freedom space, a good question is, it's just priceless. And if you look at life, L-I-F-E, you see that if right there. And you put what with it, what if, and you are on your way to discovery. Either discovering that what you were trying to discover was false, or it follows to its logical conclusion, and it introduces into the world or into the thinking a victorious thought, a thought of a magnitude greater than we could even think, because it involved not only the seen but the unseen, not only the known but the unknown. We can't go get it anywhere. Can't go to the store. Here is little old you, little old me, getting blessed and seeing a sign from God that he's sending his message to the world, to humanity, by sending it to one conscious human who wants to not remain all-powerful and all-knowing and doesn't walk around and share it a little bit and then ask for a little bit of funds for having shared that secret knowledge or that powerful knowledge. That's not what we do. That's not how we do. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't write a book or you don't do something that will require monetary assistance. It means it's not the first thing you're trying to do. It's on down the line where you have given yourself permission to take something and incur an expense and make a statement as to the value you think that it has, and then you put it on the market and you get the income or the results of that. That's supply and demand. That's business. Especially when you're informing people of something that's going to help them for generations to come. Universal knowledge does that. It is never going to change that it does that. Thus, it gives it the power to change. That's the beauty of it all. That's the miracle of it all. What we have to figure out is how we approach it and how we are influenced by it. Because sometimes, well, not sometimes, a great deal of the time, people miss out on the message because they're having a hard time believing that the messenger has been blessed like that, that he knows the things that will take the shackles physically and in an abstract or a metaphysical way. And he's not qualified like to do when you go to school and you get these all these degrees and you come away with a certain grade level and a certain status, cum laude, cum, or whatever they say to you. Or they give you degrees and give you all the way up into a PhD. And therefore you have been designated and qualified in the eyes of their qualification to be able to address these matters in the degree or in the study that you did. What am I looking for? Class you majored in? That's what I'm looking for. So that's the way it works. But what happens when it doesn't work? When the sacred institutions are faltering and stumbling and fumbling like one does when they're in the dark. So what you can do now to go and get a remedy real quick, you've taken out race. They're not stumbling and fumbling in the dark because they're devils and that's what they deserve and the chickens have come home to roost and all that. No. When you get arrogant in your life and you let the floodgates open and let morality out, integrity out, and let socialism and nationalism and capitalism in, there's the problem. And you didn't do that because you're white. You did it because you're ignorant or you're greedy or you're selfish or you're under the influence of Satan, the Shaitan. That's when we do it. So we solve that and realize it's not the race or the ethnic or the tribe or the misguided person that's really the problem. It's what's misguiding them, that cancerous thing called racism, thinking greater self-importance is the word I'm looking for. I'm qualified, highly qualified and well-recommended to be in the job of leading these people of color and otherwise where they need to go. They will have nothing and be nothing and do nothing without me. I've already got a plan how they can fit in and help me build this civilization up. And I give credit is due, but mainly my idea, my plan, and their ability to fit in as slave labor to get the planet. Obviously, that's the way it's supposed to be. And we go around with that misguided belief, having misguided by forces that can do that to the person, get you absolutely believing and thinking that you are better than other people, and you begin to tell people why and how you think this is true, and you see it's very irrational, superficial, but it is also very dangerous. Because just as they play with this statement I'm finna make here, it becomes a mission statement for a whole race of people. And they say it, that we're going to institute our given and God-given right to rule the rest of the countries by any means necessary. Now, you heard that. But what you haven't heard is what was said before it and what was said after it. That will be the litmus test that needs to be made. Context of the statement that Malcolm X, may Allah be pleased with him and granted in paradise, was trying to say, or did say with that statement. If we would look it up and do the simple little check, what was said before and what was said after, and what context does that make it? Because the way we state it without doing that, it sounds like hook or crook. I'm going to get this done. You know, whatever forces, legal or illegal, they have to take up. Whatever strategies, menacing or not. If it involves bloodshed, it involves bloodshed, because I'm about to pursue something in thought process with that attitude. Yet claiming that I'm God's man, God's servant, but acting with that statement or a statement like that, that I'm better than everybody else. And what I need to do is, what y'all need to do is understand that. And once you come to understand that, if I have to bring you together willingly or unwillingly, can you see how people can get misguided? That's what God said. Then we take it after we hear it, and we put it to what we're saying. And we think by we're doing that, taking God's scripture and putting it behind what we're doing, is God's going to bless us with that. God has blessed us to be able to say that. Now he's going to bless us with his forces to help us do that. And we go off on our little jihad, not realizing that the biggest jihad, the greatest jihad, jihad major and not jihad minor, is self-development, self-salvation, self-purpose. You know why you're here, and you're busy performing what you need to do so that the people who you were sent to help will get the benefit, will get the blessing of your knowing first, us knowing, and then applying it in a way that's beneficial. Applying it in a way that lets people know I and you, we have gotten an inheritance, and for those that were given much, much is required. We got to make sure that everybody knows that before we get started on this, because we might sound like we got a covenant and we ain't got no requirements with the covenant. It don't have no expiration date on the covenant. There's no expectations on the covenant. It comes with the territory. We went through slavery, went through the same thing, kind of like the Jews a little bit, and now we're getting out, we're going to get paid. Allah said, "For last shall be first, and the first shall be last." And we take it and we give it some kind of translation, and we off and running. It just don't work like that. There's some truths there, but there's some non-truths there. And what we do to get it right is to go back in there and ask Allah to guide us to the destination that we're trying to get to. Before we say we're there and we point to why we're there, to something superficial like the people that we're saying we're replacing who are doing the same thing. Reverse psychology is not what we're talking about. Reverse engineering, on the other hand, is different. And it sounds like the intention is a little different too. And it sounds like the qualifying thing that you're using is a little bit better too. See? Because you've enlarged something that has that power coming from the ultimate source of power. So that's the real reason it has it, where it can be used as a tool by the servant of the people of that final power, of source of power. Then you're going to talk about a little piece of heaven on earth. And you don't even want to try to take all the credit for that. You and I were just a conduit to bring what was needed in the world, in the world. And then once it gets here and it starts working and we start getting benefits and we start praising the benefactor, then we see heaven on earth. And we can see it. I mean, we saw all the hell that Imam Muhammad got caught trying to lead us out of the dark and into the light. But you see, his leaving in the hands of those who wanted to take the responsibility to do the unfinished business that wasn't done in the name of his leadership with the tools and skills that he would help us to have, the gift, to do the work. Less work when you got the tools. Then you don't have to just work hard, work hard, work hard. You can start working smart. Because you have now developed the ability and the tools to do the heavy lifting, and you're clear from that day on as you have moved from dust to industry, and your life is in your hands and in your control, that's been guided by God, then you know why things are happening. And immediately when they start to happen, when you start being present when it happens, you acknowledge it. All praise is due to God. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to the creator of the heavens and the earth. All appropriate and all showing that a consciousness is in your life, and what you're doing now are conscious choices. Conscious choices in one's life results in or equals a bit of heaven on earth. And a realization that if you can get it of that magnitude here, imagine what it's going to be like there. You did everything, or we did everything we needed to do here to head and see if this qualified us for what's supposed to happen there. And not spend a lot of time talking about there as much as you spend the time talking about here. Because there's a lot of answers that we just can't get to get the understanding of there. It's an experience that you have to experience while you're there. There's nothing on earth that will let you know what is lack of spirit. Experience that experience there, here. I'm hesitating. I'm stopping because I know that was a mouthful. And as I was saying that, I heard it. And it needs some time to process it. I'm not claiming greatness. I'm claiming the fact that when I or you or we say something that's really uncovering and encouraging one to explore and to extract from the abstract, outcome is unbelievable. It's invaluable. And you and I will have a testimony to give that came from the Creator. I had nothing but submission to be able to qualify, purification of the soul to get it, and then have confidence to share it. That's the process. You don't want any other credit or the spotlight or the limelight or the praise. You just want to be able to get it, do right with it, see the results of doing right with it, and see the situation get better because of it. And it does. It has a lasting impact on our lives to see the before and after. And then be able to take the story or the strategy and put it to work in similar situations and see that it works. See and get the answer back from the Creator that, yes, this is my will at work, see, via my the word of my word. My word coming into existence with my will bring about results because we do the work. And it's very simple when we just think about it. Okay, is that the only way to say it? No. We run out of time trying to say all the different ways it is to say it. That's not the object to necessarily get the greatest and the latest, or the latest and the greatest. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine. It's more on that level. It's more on what we were talking about earlier. Once I get something, I'm required to do something with it. And the more I get, the more responsibility grows on me to do it. Because it's been given to me. We're in the leadership, or in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad Rahim Al-Alek. He calls us his associates. We accept that. And we accept to do what associates do. They follow the what? Leader. In his absence or in his presence, we follow the leader. See? Only somebody who has control over their life can actually say that and then do that. And then declare what it is. Victory. Victory. And a miracle. Nobody even thought anything will come to a people in the condition, at the level that we were. In some respects, continue to be. We've come a long way, but we have a long way to go. And if you're not believing that, go outside and look around. And see, when you see us and see how we are behaving and how we are going through life, with a need to be heard, seen, and acting like this thing called life, or something. Go get mine, get mine. Got to get over before I go under. And why we take something like that to heart? What's driving that? The residual effect of slavery. Nowhere are you going to read or see where that kind of strategy is going to be the strategy of a people who went through what we went through and survived and are able to you attain, maintain, and sustain. You look at the outcome. It's just growing, but the number of wealth, and that's not always the answer. But it's an indicator, because all those were told to us by them or they that we couldn't do it. Three-fifths of a human and all the other stuff, all the other degradation, you know, all the other words that they were descriptive in a negative way. It made it sound impossible, and it did. The strategy, powerful. Double standards and divide and conquer. And that's just two of them. Self-hate. But, you know, I don't want to go too far with this. It's not pity party time. It's simply stating the facts as they are. It's simply putting before us that possibility that some of that residue is still lingering in the subconscious. It hasn't been addressed. It hasn't been told there's no longer need for your services, and we are having your janazah today. And mean it. I don't have to be that mean. I thought of that one word. I ain't got to be mean, mugging people, looking all stoic and looking all, you know, prepared, you know, for anything that might come along, or staring somebody down and let them know I'm not the one. What? You know, and all that stuff that can get brought up, that can come when you are being hurt, but you haven't healed. We haven't healed. If we haven't healed and we've been hurt, hurt people hurt other people, or hurting people hurt other people. And guess who those people are? Generally, the people around you. And hurt is not always domestic violence. It's failing to respond in a responsible, accountable way as it relates to our family. We make a bunch of promises, map out a bunch of dreams, tell a bunch of stories about what we going to do and how we going to do it and what it going to be like when we do it and after we do it. And, you know, maybe some people say party. I don't know. But it won't happen with the old us. The old us cannot come into the victory party, because you can't bring the old us into the victory party. You can only come into the victory with the new us. That means we've been victorious. That means that we have been instructed and we have confirmed that we want our life back, and we began to act like it. We begin to act on a call with the knowledge that we've been given. We start believing in that knowledge and applying that knowledge, and then they on the outside begin to see there's a new person on the inside. And maybe it requires a name change. Maybe it requires an address change. Maybe it requires all kind of changes. But when we look in the mirror, we can see what we lack seeing. And it's been a process of doing and being, becoming a better person so that we'll eventually be our best self. That's the one that will take you to the destiny, to the promised land. And when you get there, you'll be well received, because you got past the hurdles and the obstacles that were placed there purposely to cause us to fail. And when it did hinder us, or it did cause us to fail, we got right back up and got right back in the race, and we finished strong. All the time, people on the sidelines saying we can't do it, casting doubt, throwing water on the fire of enthusiasm. And our reply was nothing. There's some things that don't need to be said. They need to be done. Action speaks louder than words. It's true then, it's true now, it will always be true. That's how things get done. See? Because they tell you, or we hear it, say, if it was easy, everybody would do it. It's easy to say, but it's not so easy to do. And you put those together, and you have to say, I got to have a plan that prepares me to face down whatever I'm going to face with the consistency that I need to have it. And it won't be no one and done. I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing the way I'm doing it until it gets done. And then I can look at some changes or some whatever. Now, if along the way it's proven it's not accommodating what you want to happen, then yeah, we do. You make the changes right there. No sense to go on and ignore stuff and saying stuff to you like, you'll pass that bridge when you get to it. Well, you might get to the bridge and ain't no bridge there. Now what? Where's your plan? Where's the plan B? It has to have. You know, you read books like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Read the book. Great book. Powerful Lessons in Personal Change is what he says. Number one national bestseller. But one of the things that I heard or read, and I didn't really understand it. I mean, it sounds whatever, right? It's iconic or whatever. Begin with the end in mind. I was like, what's so great about doing that? I mean, I'm going to give it some thought, and then I'm gonna move on it and, you know, do what I do. But I didn't get it. Okay. It took me years. I was in a place where I wasn't even thinking about it, and it popped in my head. Boom. Oh. You've already seen down the line because you're using vision now and not just insight or not just sight. Maybe you ain't got no insight with it. You just got sight. But if you're confident enough and believing enough and trusting enough and have enough of that belief to act on it and be patient enough to know, I got this with God's help. I got this with God's guidance. Slowly but surely, I'm going to get this done with or without a lot of help. And as it gets done and it becomes into existence, then the people will come. Do it right, build it right, say it right, and the people will come. That's very attractive when we start doing things like that and they start materializing. The victory alone will bring people to come and want to be a part of it. Because they realize that this is something special. And we were slow to get here and slow to come because we wanted every test that we could give or look at and come back and see if people were still standing. And not only are they standing, they're moving. They're building their life up the way life needs to be built up to do something that will last, like we see in the pyramids. We see in all of them. The civilizations that were before, some kind of remnant. They had a day, they had a heyday, they had a time. But as time marched on, Father Time marches on, things change and people don't change. And that lack of being able to change, instead of lifting you up, it pulls you down. Pulls you down. And it'll keep you down. If you don't decide, something's going on here, and there seems to be a strong possibility it has everything to do with me. And until I really embrace that, you know, they want you to give voice, speak the truth, or speak it into existence. Get out of your own way and stop being your own worst enemy. It's probably the best thing we need to hear in a situation like that. And if we can't tell our own self that by looking in the mirror, we need to hear it from somebody who has our best interests at heart. And they would not lead us astray. They would lead us only if we listen to the victory. So what does that mean? That means they are considered a godsend. You ask for it, you got it. It may not look or sound or be the person that you think would be the one, but there it is. Isn't that the problem with a lot of people? Well, he don't look like, or she don't look like. Maybe so. But who's doing the choosing? Now you, for God, thank God. you know, you're on the sidelines. With what having to make a decision, having to make a conscious choice, having to see how you fit in this situation. That's what it's asking you before you even go over to mess with people. Get in where you fit in. Don't come over here and trying to stay in your lane and own what you got and quit trying to replace this, let it be a compliment. Okay? That's what wisdom will do. It puts humility in your heart, and it puts songs in our heart that tell us, you know, to take teamwork to make the dream work. And when we hear that, it registers in a way, not because it's poetic or some kind of wordology. No. It says it the way it needs to be said, with that richness that it needs to be said with. Because it does need that. And when you do that, guess what? Bingo. Just what the doctor ordered. And it brings with it the medicine to do the healing, and then you can go forward. And others will come with you. And it may not look like you. That's the other thing that we got to kind of get over. I want us to go, and I've been diligent, but I've found for now the people who need to help the most, listen the least. I didn't make that up. It came into my head after I saw the results. And had to drop out. Blues. I don't know. We just, right in the middle of the process. And we've been declaring how good it was, and how we loved it, and what we're going to do, and woo. And then all of a sudden, we're noticeably absent. Sometimes with an excuse, sometimes not. Sometimes when you see them, they go the other way, or they come and they got very few words to say because they say they got so much to do. So happy to see you. But, you know, I got to move on. Got to do this, got to do that. And after you heard it so many times, you begin to realize, oh, religion already covered that. It already told me, inshallah, mashallah, bi'idhnillah. Those are the requirements. You can say anything you want to say, you know. But doing is a whole nother thing. And that's why we started this with the conversation, you know. Who are the ones who are going to show up and begin to make a difference? Because they are different. Those are the ones that we want to talk to. Those are the ones we want to give our time to. Because anybody else, they're wasting your time. So you don't need to find out 2 years later that they're not up for the task. You want to find out what sooner than later. Yeah, pun intended. But you do. You want to do that. And that will help you understand whether they're with it or not when you begin to share it with them the sooner and what that really means. Sure, some applications that are in the Quran that help us to understand the Quran and take that same application out of the Quran and into the community. And watch, see what happens. Now, it's not your word, the word of God. And God is told, I make the Muslim. And then that takes the burden off of us. And it takes the blessing and puts it in perspective. You were blessed to introduce and get the person to maybe take a little time to see this thing, Islam, in the true light, al-Islam in the true light, in a better light, if not a true light, before you let doubt come in there or before you make some kind of decision. There's not a conscious choice on your part. You're going by Hearsay. Somebody said. That is not the way you want to make any kind of decision. Somebody said. Because they are very common, for opinions are very common. And people can go and Google and then get all this information in front of them, and they sound like they're the wisest people on the planet. But Google will make you think you're that wise person on the planet. We have to know how to control our thoughts and not let our thoughts control us. We have to know how to let our appetites control our appetites and not let our appetites control us. We just got a demonstration of that in Ramadan. Not by doing it, by understanding that this was is supposed to do. It's supposed to equip us with self-discipline. It's supposed to make us grow till we have a self-accusing spirit. See? There are three levels there in that NAS. And we're not there until we get to the third one. And when we get to the third one, then we can declare that we have gotten our life back, and we're going to put it back where it belongs, on the road and the destiny, salvation is at hand. See? And you can't do. Reach out for the rope. It won't nobody let go of, and it will be able to stay headed to the destiny. Nobody fall off or fall out. Because the journey is not going to be easy. If it was easy, like I said, everybody would be able to do it. But the journey is not easy, but it's worth it. If that can get said and put in your mind, in your heart, then you're going to be off to a good start. And it's not going to stop because somebody stops. It's not going to stop because something happened. You got distracted. The duty at hand is what has to be done. And like we used to say, until you're properly relieved, you can't go nowhere or do nothing. That's a thought that will hopefully help us understand. It's no time to be dropping the ball just because we see what's going on in the world around us. If we understand anything about this thing called life has many little things, we're not going to even try to share it all tonight. Get a couple of things that I'm sure it catches the eye, but it's a reminder. One of the things I mentioned earlier, and I think I said, if I didn't, I'm saying now, life, the English word, is a four-letter word. And we can look and see at least three words in it. There's if, right there in the middle. There's lie, right there when you take off the if. And there's file, when you put on the elf at the beginning. And maybe there's some more there, but those are the easy ones, and those are the right accessible ones. But it seemed to us, not necessarily what I just said or I read, it seemed to us that life has to be intentional. If it's not, and you let a lie slip in there some kind of way, it's going to take us off the track, and our life is going to be headed the wrong way because we're following a life that's a lie. And that's a problem. And it's only solved when we return to our senses, get back on the track, get back headed toward the right destiny, have the right direction and orientation to where we won't get pulled away. We won't get distracted. We won't get find something attractive because it looks, tastes, and smells that way. You see? There's no accident that we have these five senses centrally located. And when they go to work, we're able to see what's going on. And it will communicate to us, oh, that's da-da-da-da-da. And then we can do what? We can turn around and communicate to other people and do what? Steal their fears. Which steal is that? Bring about some peace and order in their life. See? Things appear to be still when the chaos has stopped. And everything that was still is, because once it gets still, you can recognize it. You can see where you got off the track and what you need to do to get back on the track. And realize getting off the track can just mean going from one extreme to the other extreme. You were too spiritual. You were too mental. Either one of them is a problem, because the religion is balance. And that balance has to be kept. And when it is kept, you'll see that balanced life. Not only a balanced life, but a balanced life approach. You won't just see, I got money, now I can spend it. When you got money, now you can spend it, but you also have to save it. And at some point in time, you may have to, and you will have to invest. And if you've done your due diligence, if we've done our due diligence, when we do make an investment, we'll get the return, and maybe even a surprise, because we made the right choice. And that choice qualifies us to get ABC. And now we can now qualify other people to get ABC. So it's a process that has universal influences in it, and it does what universal things do. And it takes the power that other people have in our lives away from them and putting it right in the driver's seat of your life and of your finances and of your future and of your dream. And that's my contribution after Ramadan. Those are some of the thoughts that came to my mind to say to you who are thinking now, it's came and gone. And there's a few little sprinkles, you know, remnants, you know, it seemed like a lot of it, my stomach and whatever, just little reminders that 2 or 3 days ago or more I was fasting, and now I'm not. Do I return back to business as usual, or do I take a look around and see some things that need to be done and do those things so that the spirit and the purification and the other things that I saw or did or heard or are now staying with me? And now I'm feeling more competent and more capable of doing some of the things that I said I was going to do, but I didn't get done. Now's the time. No time like now. If not now, when? If not us, who? That's been out there for the longest. Now it's time to put it back out there again. The world needs, it has needs now. So we know enough to fulfill some of those needs, because we should be doing some of that in our communities, in our homes. And it should be a reflection to other people, because we've got it so clear, and it looks easy. People just amazed. You didn't eat? You can't eat nothing? Are you all right? I know you're going to make up for that lost time. I said, no, stop. This is not about food. There's so many other things that's about, you know, on a spiritual level that we've gotten away from. We don't let the spiritual level come in. If we do, it's not spiritual, it's spooky. Look at the creation. Do you don't see any spooky stuff? Now you see some stuff maybe you can't explain, but it's not spooky. It has an explanation. You know, if you're serious enough about it, you'll find out from those who do know to help you now know so that you can begin to show and tell people what the explanation is, how it could benefit them, for that it was intentionally designed that way to bring about the kind of results that the Creator wants for his creation. If we begin to see ourselves like that, we'll begin to see our life the way we need to see it. We begin to do things that we didn't do and hear things that we didn't hear. And it will be a reflection to those who are around, something's different, something's changed. And it's an excellent time to share a little bit of your story and the changes that, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And I'm happy to be able to share this with you. Sharing is caring. Remember, short, sweet, to the point. It's not time for the kutbah. Not time for the Talim circle. It's just time to share a little bit, as they say in the business world, show the trailer, not the movie. Less is more. People are under such a burden, have attention span like that much. Sometimes I do it, I go, and I get distracted. I can't even remember. I go back, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And it happens. This fast-paced world is just sending out so many messages and do this and see this and check this and whoo, at the speed of that. In fact, there was a book that was written there, Doing Business at the Speed of Light. I can't remember. It was one of the Gates or maybe Bezos or somebody who said that. But the point I'm saying that they were prepared to do business like that. So the businesses are still successful and growing because of that approach. It goes back to the one we were talking about earlier. Begin with the end in mind. Be surprised that you're not only a billionaire, you're a multi-billionaire because you have what? Multiple streams of income. And what? The ability to give yourself permission to do that so that you can better serve humanity as a result of that. Start your philanthropy. And unite with others to set up trust funds so you can do that. Do you have a starting place at your place of worship? And then it goes from there. Because it's a social construct. It makes for a setting where social society is thriving and it's showing and sharing with people of how to cultivate, you know, and make what you want to realize a possibility. We reap what we sow, sow well so that you will reap well. That was the one we used to hear. And it's still good. But possibility thinking is what the new message. That if you believe it, it's possible. Though it does not exist right now, but you understand your possibility thinking does exist. And if it's possible, what is humanly possible for one human being is humanly possible for another human being. That's possibility thinking. You are aware I did it, and I can construct a program so that others may do it. If they will let it do what? Enter into their lives. Be a source that they turn to and revise any part of it that needs to be revised so it'll do what it's doing for me, but it's not necessarily going to do the same thing for you. Until you own it and make it yours, and then it begins to work in you, in your life, comfortable, but productive. That's the goal. So, let me do something for you while at the same time doing it for me. Let me conclude right there and say to you, if anything you need to share, and consider the time. Not this, we're going to run out of time anymore like we did thought we were going to do. But just that it's overdue a good thing. And we don't want to be guilty of that. So anyone who wants to hit one on their phone and declare where you're at and where you have a question or a comment. And if not, then we'll move to the next order of the business. But you're welcome to do that, and we'll start looking at trying to call this an evening and call, as they do in the industry, say it's a wrap, you know. So I'm all for that. If not, then I would ask, hopefully he's still on, not just by the phone, my dear brother Mark to share with us the schedule, post-Ramadan schedule, and who's doing what, and the like. So let me see if I can call on him to do that with the promise of I will be more prepared next time than I was this time to let us know. But if he's not available, we'll go through a version of putting out the, we're putting on the schedule for people, because this is not even the tip of the iceberg. There's so many wonderful things that are being said and need to be heard, because like I said before, this is not a one man show. It's a community of people trying to make sure that some of what Imam Muhammad's leadership has done for them can in turn do for others. So let's do that here. Let's see, Brother Mark will come on board here. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, alaykum as-salam, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to our very distinguished radio listeners, IWDM Radio. I've been in and out. A lot of good things to say in regards to the topic of life. You know, I was thinking in regards to life, that four-letter word, light, illuminating for everything. In everything that Allah has created that is animated, there's light. This in it. It's like this. It emanates from everything that the Creator has created. And it's the natural curiosity that we as human beings have to want to know what is that light, to be enlightened. And that natural curiosity, the rational nature that Allah has put inside of us to want to know, we have explored the creation, and it has been a benefit and a mercy to us all at the same time, you know. And we even see it in our children, you know, when they come into the world. They're very, very curious. They're asking questions because they know they don't know. And they become very intrigued and interested when they see things moving and all. They're intrigued with life and the light that is illuminating from everything that God has created. And so they began to question. And who do they usually question is generally the first ones that are closest to them, generally their parents, in regards to this and that. They're fascinated, especially in the animate world, the insects. You remember how when we was coming up, how we was fascinated by the lightning bug. It's just a lightning bug or the butterfly. But at that point, we didn't know that the butterfly starts out as a caterpillar. We didn't have any knowledge of that. But we saw that type of life, and it was such a beautiful life. But the inquiry of the human being at some point in time traced it back to the beginning of that life, or the light illuminating for everything, or everything that has been created by the Creator. And Allah has created so much and all, and the fascination, the intrigue that we have in just looking at the beautiful creation that Allah has created. I just wanted to share that. Hopefully it makes some sense in terms of that, but I think in having that appreciation and the respect and the regard for the Creator and the marvelous creation that He's created, that we even benefit. You know, we think about the bee. You know, he's talking about, I heard you speak about Ramadan, but Surah 16, that's the bee. And what it is that Allah has taken this marvelous creation and what it does with the pollen from the flower and all. This, once again, is life. And it helps to sustain and maintain life. Oh, it's so beautiful, light illuminating from everything that Allah has created. And the human, not just the man, but the human, man and woman, actually benefit. And we see a lot of mercy in the natural creation. Just want to share that in all my little nickel's worth, or what, as we say. We want to say to radio listening audience that the beat goes on IWDM radio, as we have programming 7 days a week, 7 days a week. And tomorrow, which is Tuesday, it would be the science of your health and you, the science of your health and wealth learning lab. Yes, Rashid Salam, looking to do more in 2024, and his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, they host the Science of Your Health and Wealth Learning Lab. And so it's back on its regular schedule after the blessed month of Ramadan. So we're talking about 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So please tune in for the Science of Your Health and Wealth Learning Lab. Wednesday is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and we're getting closer and closer to the date of the return of our very distinguished co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, who has been absent for almost close to 2 months or better, there in Medina with her daughter and son-in-law for the blessed month of Ramadan. So we look for her return on April the 24th. However, don't fear, because Rashid Salam is here, and he'll be joining me this Wednesday on the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. And it also will be returning back to its original time at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So please tune in for that, a very special learning lab where we talk about what is correct parenting from an Islamic perspective and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And following that, the MGM Roundtable, which is the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, is returning back to its original time, as it was transplanted, I want to say, to Saturday afternoon during the blessed month of Ramadan, where we always have very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community, Imam Muhammad, outside the community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And so this Wednesday, we will have representatives on from the New Medina Retreat. This is a retreat that's been going on for over 30-some years. It's one of the stable, I would say, entities in the association, Imam Muhammad. So we're looking to have representatives on. As we know, that's each and every Memorial Day weekend, the New Medina Retreat. I've been several times. It's an excellent, excellent experience to have, and we'll have representatives on to give information for 2024 New Medina Retreat at the roundtable with me. And it begins at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Thursday is the Sister Learning Lab, which is the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, with our very distinguished, esteemed Khalila Akbar. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and it's returning back to its regular time, and we're going to have a special that perhaps will be a series, which is going to be a topic with questions. What is marriage? And we're going to talk about that from an Islamic perspective. What is marriage? And then the other part of that, are you really married? So I guess you say, are you really married? So hopefully question topic is intriguing enough for you to tune in and listen to Khalila Akbar and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. It will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Friday is Salatu Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio and tune in and listen to Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, out of Indianapolis, Indiana, at Noor Islamic Center. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time on IWDM Radio. Saturday is the Muslim Book Reading Club. That's hosted by Imam Mikhail Sahir. And he have different persons volunteering to read the two-volume book on the Honorable First Lady and mother of our community, Sister Clara Evans Muhammad. We're coming to the close of the second book or volume on Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. So you want to tune in for that. That's each and every Saturday starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Sunday, the longest running production that we have. Once again, Imam Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People. Yes, Words Make People. You can get it each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, high noon Central, 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time with Imam Mikhail Sahir. And you just heard it live today, our very distinguished esteemed Imam Nazim Pasha, ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation, where a variety of topics and conversation are given. He'd love for you to tune in. It's back on its regular time at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, Al-Islam-based conversation with Imam Nazim Pasha. And that begins at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So please tune in. We want you to know that all the productions on AM 360 or informational and also educational. So if you tune in and you like these productions, you know, let's be practitioners of what it is we say. I heard Imam Pasha actually say you can say one thing But is your actions congruent with what you say, you know? So say what you mean and mean what you say. If we say that we should love for our brother and our sister, what we love for ourselves, if you love these productions, or you may have one in particular you want to listen to, and then you may listen to another one and say, yeah, I like that one too, and I love this one too, and I'm benefiting from whatever it is that you're listening to, invite them to tune in to that production. But then also let them know that other productions that you can tune in and listen to, and I guarantee you that you'll walk away, there'll be something that you'll walk away with that you didn't have if you hadn't come. As the old DJ said, look what you would have been missing if you hadn't been listening. And last but not least, IWDM Radio. We do support the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. So those of you who have allowed your subscription to lapse, please pick it back up. If you have a one-year subscription, let's double it to two, and we look to do more in 2024. Those who have the wherewithal, think about a family member, one of your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, community members, maybe a pioneer in your community, maybe your local library. What about those reentry in the reentry program that's been in the penal institution? And we just finishing up the blessed month of Ramadan. Still thinking about giving a gift. Why not a subscription to the Muslim Journal? So with that being said, as always, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum. And back to you, Imam Nazim Pasha.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. Appreciate it, brother Mark. Very much enlightening and whatnot. And, we always want to know what's at our disposal because, like I said before, it's a rich community and everyone has a to share and we'll progress with that sharing, and Allah will be pleased, and we will have some of the things that Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Ali shared with us that came into existence after he was no longer with us. But he was obviously with us because that spirit that he tried to instill in people was there, and there's a lot of people that are showing that spirit and stepping up and stepping up forward to see us realize some more things in 2024, which will inspire us to do more for 2025. So I conclude with that. I thank you once again. Like I said, I pray a lot that we have heard something that will activate us in a way that people will see that there's a difference in these people, you know, in that person, and we'll hopefully be benefiting others as a result of that. So let me give you the greetings of peace, a peace that only Allah can give. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.